The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the I Think I'm in Trouble edition.
Lindsay Buckingham.
The cats have just landed in a fair bit of excrement, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's fair to say there's excrement galore at the feet of the pussycats.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, Ben.
It has.
Yes. Can we start, before we start on something?
Have you got us plugged in is one of the questions that I need to ask.
This is plugged in. Yeah. Can I run this by you? So we usually, because you like questions. Actually, no, you love questions.
I love questions, yeah.
Right. So this is one of the questions.
Is this, we're going early?
Yeah. No, because I just want to get this one.
Up?
I just want to get, this is from Cosmic Energy. I love this. Is this
hilarity of the highest order?
I don't know when it started happening originally, but Ben's habit of asking himself a question and answering it has reached the intervention stage. Every third sentence is a question to himself. Does he ask himself too many questions and answer them? Yes. Does he need to phrase things that way? No. Can he just give his opinion in regular sentence structure rather than question format, or has he gone too far? We'll see.
Right. From Cosmic Energy. I haven't known. Do I do that?
You do a little bit.
What, ask questions to myself?
Yes.
Give us an example.
Is Mitch Edwards a better option in the ruck than Sam De Koning? Yes. Is Sam De Koning?
Yes. Yeah. But that's sort of, I'm channeling my inner Gary Ayres. That's something he would do.
You know,
you got your Ablets and your Bartels and your, it's particularly with sport.
I don't have an issue with it,
no,
Ben.
I don't think Cosmic Energy, does Cosmic Energy have an issue?
I don't think so.
It's just tongue-in-cheek.
I think it's very facetious.
Yeah. No, well, I love that sort of feedback. I'll have to, sometimes you do things, Kingy.
And you don't realise you're doing them.
You're not really aware that you're doing
them. Like Geelong.
I know that I use the term, yes, that's right, when you inadvertently forget to send through. It wasn't a waiver, Kingy. It was a, what are they called?
Voluntary assumption of risk.
Yeah. Sounds like, I think you should sign those before you get married.
I think.
Do you think?
I sign one every week before I do this podcast with you.
Yes. I've had some voluntary risk.
Right. What do we make of the situation? Man, in all seriousness, it hasn't been ideal for the Cats. It's now being dealt with by a KC by the name of James Peters.
KC.
Yeah, King's Council. High as you can get.
I thought it was QC. Now it's a KC.
Yeah, because the Queen died.
Oh, well, but can't we just... Is there anything higher than that?
No. That is as high as you can go as a lawyer.
Is it?
Yeah, in terms of...
Do you reckon
of,
what
of
sort
being,
of Bugs yeah, Bunny would they be?
Oh, their billables would be unbelievable.
So,
did you ever watch Suits? That was one of, if you get a chance to binge watch a TV show, Suits was.
Is that American?
Yeah, it was unbelievably good.
Is it HBO?
What did I watch it on?
Suits.
Stan on
Netflix. Always up for something like that, Kingy.
You'd enjoy it.
Is it cutting edge?
It was set in the law firm. The writing was incredibly good.
Right.
Anyway, so, you know, those KCs aren't, yeah. I was talking to a KC in the last couple of days about, so do you just get to whack an extra zero on when you get those letters beside your name?
And you probably do.
Yeah, well, yeah. They didn't answer it, though.
So I have a friend
yeah.
who's a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and he's the managing...
and used him?
No, I haven't. He's not in your sort of... He wouldn't be able to help me, King. He's not in your criminal sphere.
Oh, more civil.
He's in sort of... insurance type.
Oh, fraud sort of.
No. You know, anyway.
Yeah, come on. Yes. Sorry.
And interestingly, a very well-known celebrity owes the firm about $1 million.
Right.
Won't pay. But that's beside the point. So he was telling me, so he's the managing director of the firm.
Yep.
And fair to say his ranch is not your average ranch, okay? It's extraordinary.
Right.
And that's another word that I use all the time, Kingy, and I do know I use it, extraordinary, I love it.
Is it a gated community?
It's not a gated community, but it's an extraordinary house. But anyway, he was telling me that one night we were having fizzy refreshments with him, and he loves the fizzy refresh, right? And he was saying that there are lawyers who can make between $15,000 to $30,000 a day.
Wow.
And he, I sort of felt that he might be just on the lower end of that. But anyway, he's a lovely, you wouldn't know it. He's a great bloke, and he grew up in a very eclectic, grew up in dust. Anyway, you would not know that he was a high flyer, but he is. Anyway, so but he was saying that, yeah, you can make between 15 and 30 grand a day.
Right.
A day?
So what is your take on the Geelong situation?
Kingy. My take. Am I allowed to ask questions, you know, i.e. cosmic energy style?
If you like. How were the Hoxton Creepers, by the way, just very quickly?
Well, they were good, Kingy. They were, Rob Craw wasn't at his best. I think he had a lurgy.
Yeah.
He either had a lurgy or they played the previous night at the Suki Lounge.
Yep. And the voice was shot.
Yeah. I reckon he may have been, he may have just not been at his best.
Under the weather?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were still good, and he did his best, and he just wasn't quite as sharp as you'd hope. But it was still very, very enjoyable.
Yeah. For those who, Ben booked off early on Saturday night, for those who don't know, there was a very early thank you, linesman, thank you, ball boys.
Yes.
Benny to get up the, where was it at, the court? No.
At the Croxton.
Croxton.
Great venue, the Croxton. Anyway, so that was good. So my take, Kingy, on this, on the Cats, I think I'm in trouble, is.
Who sang that, by the way?
I don't know.
Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, right. She and
her, and Mick her. And Mick Fleetwood was on the drums.
Was he?
For it, yep.
Oh, Mick. I watched a documentary on Tool last night, hour and 15 minutes. Anyway,
I've actually, so we haven't got to where we're going here, and people will be frustrated living the end, but you just said Tool. I end up getting into more of their stuff beyond Stinkfist. don't be like that. Which is the name of a song that they did in the 1990s.
It's an absolute cracker,
too. It was a Triple J staple when you were listening to Triple J in your late teens, early 20s. Mm. And then it sort of started rolling into more Tool stuff. He's got a very distinct voice, and it's a very listenable voice that
it's heavy, but it's he's they're very distinct style. They're the only heavy band that do it the way they do it.
Yeah.
The vocals are clear, the guitars are on, but they're very good musicians.
Yes. Yep.
So I think David Bottrell, he produced two of the albums.
Yep.
And he also worked with bands like King Crimson,
yep.
Which are a big influence on Tool. But anyway, the documentary was very good. But they're a very...
Where do I find that, Ben?
Just on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, it just gave you a good history of the band. But above all, they're very good musicians. Yep. And they're not the full sort of party set. They're different to that.
Yeah. A bit more intellectual.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Bit Talking Heads like.
Possibly in a diff. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, Maynard's, he's got his own winery, does his own wines. That's what he does in his downtime. Adam is does a lot of. He started with the producing and the. He's into a lot of the photography and the video. Yep. That was his area.
Yep.
And Danny's obviously an unbelievable drummer. He's the best drummer on the planet, Danny Carey. But and then obviously Justin Chancellor's English, and he joined the band as a bassist. And they're all very sensible,
yeah.
But they love what they do, so their product is important to them. They've only had about six albums in 30 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, it was great. So anyway, if you've got nothing to do and you'd like to see Tool, then like he said they'd be coming back out to Australia at some point. So.
I might accompany if they come out.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. They're unbelievable. Good things. Unbelievable. That was one of the best nights I've ever had. Anyway, my take on the Cats, Kingy. I mean, it's hard to know because we don't know everything.
And we probably need to put the rider on this too. Whatever we say, people are going to go, well, you're a Cats podcast. You broadcast on the station that broadcasts Cats.
I'm happy to criticise the Cats, which I've done a zillion times.
And I think we handled Steve Hocking pretty well on Saturday. I think we asked the questions.
Well, you did. I mean, it's not really my gig.
But it's not mine either. We're football.
We can't be hard. We're not going to come out and absolutely attack Steve Hocking. There's no benefit to us as a station ongoing.
And there's no benefit to our listeners, because I don't think there's anything that we didn't. I think we asked the questions. I think they wanted.
I think we got some responses to him that got aired again.
The big one was the what would you have done differently?
Yeah, and he said nothing.
Yeah, well, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
So look, the only thing I could glean from it, having Steve Hocking there, I don't know really Steve Hocking very well at all. In fact, I don't know him. other than to say, hi, Steve, if he walked past, that would be it. But he, from what I gathered, just reading body language, which would be my one of my strengths, I reckon, and reading between the lines, I think the AFL were fully aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
Now, I can't say that for any certainty, but just the way he responded to things,
yeah.
Some of his responses, when he obviously said you wouldn't change much,
yeah.
That's not saying to me that they were just going absolutely rogue
no.
and they've been found out and like, oh my God, we're being caught red-handed.
Yeah.
That was, the authorities knew what was happening, or some people within that yeah. industry knew what was happening. Now, it's been unfortunately brought into the public light, which they would have never have thought would happen. And now the AFL are probably scampering as much as the Cats, because if it comes out that they do know, and is there, did I read somewhere that there's some sort of email chain?
Yeah, there's a document. Yeah. So Geelong, it looks like Geelong have used a document that was used previously for a player.
The Sydney.
Yeah.
Yep. But was there any other correspondence around that between the AFL and Geelong to say that the AFL would have been well aware of the situation with Jake Collins?
That I don't know.
So that would be my suspicion.
Yeah.
Which in that case, the one who's going to look really bad then is Andrew Dillon,
yep.
unfortunately.
And he...
Or fortunately.
Yeah, depending on which way you look at it. And he is a legal mind.
Mm.
That's his background. That's his... For one of a,
is he a KC?
No, he's not. But that's his one word.
Is it KFC? Yeah.
You idiot. My take on it is Geelong have erred, but you've got to look at it like people have compared this to Essendon and Adelaide,
yeah,
which Geelong ridiculous. Haven't tried to do something to, well, for want of a better term, manipulate the game or anything like that. Like they've probably looked to. Not me, and I don't think manipulate's the right word, but make a situation out of something that they were sort of left backed into a corner. Is that the right saying? Jake Collegeazney was given an amber light.
He was clearly desperate to keep playing.
Yeah, the only player that's ever been either has been amber lighted, so no green light to continue playing, no red light. So Geelong wanted him to keep playing. Because if they didn't want...
Did Geelong want to keep playing, and was he that desperate to keep playing? Did he go to the club with the woman that was involved
yeah.
and say, we are happy to sign this, Jake yeah. wants to keep playing?
I think that's how it played out.
So it wasn't Geelong coming to them and saying...
I don't know who went to who.
Well, that would be worthwhile knowing.
That's what the KC is probably going to find out. Who?
Do you think Steve would have answered that if we asked him? Probably not. No.
Don't know. There's one question I wish I had of... asked, and hindsight's 20/20, and like, I don't think people care, but I'll tell this anyway. So I knew, we knew during the week, we knew before this happened that we were talking to Steve Hocking.
Yeah, he was booked in.
That's why he did it. So he honoured that commitment.
Yeah.
Okay. We knew Friday, obviously Friday at 3:30, I'm at the club with Tony Jones, Ben Cameron from the Geelong Addy, and myself. We were the only three journos. Along with, there was a fourth a video journo from the ABC, Jono Kendall, I think his name is. He was there. So there's only four journos turned up to Steve Hocking on Friday. I didn't ask a question because I figured I knew he was going to come on tomorrow and there's stuff I want to ask and I want our listeners to be able to
yeah.
hear that.
You were keeping your powder dry, were you?
For want of a better term.
Have you ever kept anything else dry?
And Friday night wasn't... I didn't sleep great Friday night because it was continually wearing over. Like, we can't cock this up.
Yeah.
You know, we need to ask the question. Okay, if I'm a Geelong member, what do I want to know? Now, yeah. the only question I regret I didn't ask is that Steve Hocking used the word misstep and he used it again with us. Grant McCabe called it a fail when talking to, I don't know which media outlet, but anyway, he called it a fail. And I should have said, so which one is it, Steve? You're saying it's a misstep. Grant McCabe saying it's a fail. Which one is it?
Yeah. Well, I asked him about the misstep. Was that, do you think that was basically an appropriate term to use for what's transpired?
Yeah.
And he sort of just dribbled one out to the covers, didn't he?
He played it pretty straight.
Yeah, it was like super bat and pad were close together.
Well, I think we got out of it what we could for our listeners.
Was there feedback saying you blokes are no good?
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but you're going to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
from non-Geelong fans.
I would say they're non-Geelong fans, but that's okay. But, like, I spoke to a couple of people in the media who I respect, and said, did you have a listen? And I said, and these are people who'd be honest with me. And the feedback was, you handled it pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's in it. People don't.
We're like, we're not Caroline Wilson. We're not. No. We're not Damien Barrett.
We're not the Herald Sun.
We're not trying to be.
So what the Herald Sun used to do back in the day, probably not now, but they'd get somebody to write something negative about the Cats or a club.
Yeah.
It could be any club. And then because, you know, then they wouldn't send that person back down there for a period of time. They'd just send somebody else.
Yeah.
So they could do that.
Yeah.
It's just not in our interest to absolutely rile the football club.
No.
I think
if they completely cock up,
well, some would argue that they've completely cocked up here.
But we don't know they have.
No, that's right. Well, there's so many things that we don't know, and nobody knows for sure. And it seems to be drip feeding each day. A new piece of information comes out, which sheds light on or changes
the narrative.
Yeah, from what's been spoken about the previous three days.
Yep.
So, did the AFL know? My suspicion is yes.
Were they aware?
Did Jake Colajasny and his representative come to the club and say, Jake wants to play, we're happy to sign this, can you sign this? Did Jake's representatives know that something had happened with the Sydney player and they used that and came to the club with that?
Yep.
Did the Geelong...
Or the other way that Steve Hocking from his time at the AFL was aware that Sydney had...
Yeah. Did Jake sit down with Steve Hocking, have a heart-to-heart, and Steve said, look, 5 years ago, X did this.
Yeah.
There is a possibility we could do this. And Jake said, yes. We don't know that.
No.
So all those little bits and pieces are probably the most crucial in terms of forming an opinion. And they're all still up in the air.
Yeah.
Do you reckon we'll ever know?
Well, you'd think, well, I don't know, what I suppose legal, how legally binding is what the KC finds out. Well, it's not going to a court of law, but it's going through his hands for a determination on how.
Well, I think in fairness, the AFL or the Cats to actually appease everybody here, and not that they have to, but I think this is a situation where there's so much noise around it.
It's all going to come down to optics, Ben.
And what you don't want, you'd rather be on the front foot with this and say, this is what's happened. This is how it transpired. This is what everybody knew at the time. This is what they didn't know at the time. And then everybody can then have formed their own opinion. But my suspicion will be the thing that will possibly happen is if the AFL were aware of this, so if Andrew Dillon was aware of this deal and knew this was happening and was across it, it would be very difficult to sanction the Cats to the Billio. Because he's going to be aware of it. So that will shed him in a pretty poor light. Now, can Craig Drummond... I mean, the AFL had to have been aware. Craig Drummond was involved in the decision.
Yeah.
Then he's the chairman of the AFL.
But it doesn't mean he's taken that information with him from the Cats to the AFL, though. Like, he's aware of it, but it's not like he's going up there and saying, oh, by the way, when I was at Geelong...
True. But there was somebody at the top, the very top of the tree at the AFL who knew this had happened. He signed off on it. And now he's a chairman of the AFL. Mm.
Did he sign off it?
Well, the board must have. Because didn't they say it all went through the board? So they have to... The board must have signed off on it because... Yes.
So this is where things get, I reckon, are a bit murky.
If the board hadn't signed off on it, it wouldn't have happened, would it?
Does the board need to sign off on that? Can that still be operations?
Well, why would you go to the board with it then?
You know,
If you're only asking for them just to... So if you're only asking them to look at it and not have an opinion, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point of having a board?
I mean, a situation like that, surely the board were part of the decision or aware of the decision or vetoed the decision or gave the green light to the decision. Clearly, they must have given the green light to it because it happened.
Mm.
Anyway,
we
get a bit of a head archy with all this, don't we?
We've got a few questions that are related to this. So I'll try and package this.
Is this a package?
Podcast into sort of compartmentalise it, for want of a better term.
Oh, that's extraordinary. Dudas
Maximus,
word.
Without specifically, Chris Scott used it today. Without specifically
is
naming
that why you're
a,
using
no,
it?
No, I've used it before.
Did you have to Google it?
No, Ben, I did not. Without specifically naming a player, won't providing enough detail to identify said player constitute journalistic malpractice? Without going into specifics, has the GFC ever tried? Oh, hang on, let's do the first one. No, that is not journalistic malpractice. Jay Clark had a story. Good on him. It's a massive story. Nothing would have gone to print without going through News Corp's lawyers.
No, 100%.
So they would have looked at all that.
Oh, yeah.
And so...
Justin Quill?
Yeah, that's a simple answer. Well, Justin Quill spends a lot of his time in court I would be shocked if he's not a KC. Without going into specifics, has the GFC ever tried to gag or otherwise?
The KFC has gagged a few people. If your chicken's gone down the wrong way.
Aren't we lucky that we don't have an AFL club that starts with K?
Yes, it'd be no good.
They'd be the chickens, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, surely. They would.
We need to get a club out of Conniver. They can be KFC.
Who came from Conniver?
A lot of Essendon players.
Yeah.
Roger Merritt from Conniver?
Did you see the footage I showed you of Peter Philandia?
No, I didn't. But anyway, don't bother. Without going into specifics, has the GFC ever tried to gag or otherwise forcibly influence K-Rock in an impending bad news story? You can choose not to comment. I'll be honest, 20 seasons of covering the Cats, never been gagged.
No. They don't. No, they don't. Yeah, I mean, what would they gag us on, though? I mean, we're not part of the club. I mean, the K-Rock or the business sponsors the Cats.
Yep.
So we have a corporate suite at the ground, and K-Rock, I don't know exactly how much it is, but it's not a $15 sponsorship.
No, it's not.
It's a significant sponsorship.
Correct.
Yep. Of the footy club.
Yep.
So they're a partner of the club.
Plus the rights that we pay for. It used to be great when radio rights became, not cheap. The investment, I think, was greater in the club because the signage around the ground used to be significant.
Yeah.
Behind the goal.
And that's why we have a presence before the game and at three-quarter time on the screen.
That's part of that arrangement.
Well, yeah, that's all part of that agreement. So K-Rock is a partner of the club. So we're in a very different position to a 3AW or an SEN who have no tie. And like I said, I've been a huge critic of the Cats at times.
Yeah.
Over all sorts of things. But it's a balance. So people have to understand. You've got to strike a balance in that you can't just be negative towards the Cats all the time. Yeah. We're a Geelong station. A large band of our listeners, 98.4% of them.
Yeah.
Are Geelong supporters. Now, do they all want us just to be sycophants of the club? No. That's why I'm happy if I think that...
Yeah, you just call something out.
Yeah, which is what we do. But we're not going to harass them and in a fashion that maybe some other journos would because it doesn't serve us in a positive light going forward.
Daz Broncos, have either of you, having been in the media for decades, ever seen journos like Clark, Ralph, TJ and Caro froth at the mouth, TJ being Tony Jones, at the mouth and get more excited than a baby at a Victoria's Secret bra show than they have this week going after Geelong? I get there are errors and penance to be paid here, but over-the-top stuff is insane to me. There's clearly 20 years' worth of GFC hatred coming through in their comments and reporting. My understanding is Jay Clark is actually a Geelong supporter.
Yeah, he's a Geelong boy.
Yeah, and John Ralph is from Geelong originally.
Oh, and he barracks for Richmond.
He barracks for Richmond. Tony has a place.
I don't know that John Ralph's. I haven't heard that. Jay's from Geelong.
Yeah, I thought John Ralph was from Geelong originally.
That's news to
Tony
me.
Tony Jones has got a place at Port Arlington, barracks for Collingwood. Yeah. Caro's obviously a Richmond person. You can, of course, let this go through to the keeper and move on. I don't think there's 20 years. Like, I don't know.
I think it's the tall poppy syndrome. Yeah. People want to see Geelong fail.
Caroline Wilson did make some good points on the agenda setters on Monday night about there's some stuff that Geelong's done that probably they've got away with. A bit of the Matt, like obviously Mad Monday last year where she was the subject of actually a bit of...
She went at pains to say Andrew Dillon had rung her from Europe and...
Yeah.
I don't know what the relevance of all that was, but...
I'm just trying to make her point. Yeah, I...
Kane Corns is the one who's said it's the greatest storm in a teacup he's ever seen.
Yeah, yep.
And he said it's just been who could be outraged the quickest or the most.
I'm not outraged. Look, you were probably disappointed to see the club being in this microscope at this time of the year.
Yeah, look, you never want your club. And I've read some stuff on social media and, you know, people saying that Geelong should be fined $500,000 and Steve Hocking should stand down and Geelong should lose draft picks. And I mean, come on, like, please just take your tablets and you know, move on. There's some medicine that can help you.
Jumping Jack, a serious question, not that my previous request to analyse the Wiltshire moustache wasn't. As media participants yourselves, where do you feel the line should be drawn around accountability for the media to run with statements presented as facts that call into question the integrity of a club or individuals? Well, the accountability comes that if you're making a statement that is wrong or libel or slanderous, you will get dealt with. So,
but they word things that are very careful. That's why things go through lawyers
before
they go out. Yep. They word things very carefully.
Yep.
They'll fly close to the wind as they can, but that's where the lawyers come in terms of the wording of things.
Yeah. We've got our lawyer sitting over in the corner here.
Have we?
In the David Collins studio.
Must be Cole because he's got his hands in his own pocket.
How much license?
That's a great gag, isn't it? It's so cold out there that even player managers have got their hands in their own pockets.
How much license should a media voice have to question club integrity, question whether they acted in the best interest of a player, or even pressure a player to waive away their workplace rights that exist under law? And then if those claims are proven to be wrong, should accountability come back on the media people responsible for making the claims? As you touched on, Ben, Jay Clark's reporting, and look, I only go to Jay Clark. Everybody, like lots of others, have reported on, but Jay Clark's the one who broke the story. That will have been seen by so many sets of legal eyes, before it hit the light of day.
The
publish button would have only been hit when they've absolutely gone over with a fine tooth comb.
That's right, and the landscape, everybody knows, in terms of the media and the reporting of issues and the thirst for the sort of exclusive is an absolute fever pitch to what it was. Yeah. I mean, 30 years ago, you know, there wasn't the social media, not me in particular, but journos could do the due diligence on what they needed to do in terms of breaking stories because there wasn't that humongous.
It wasn't the 24-hour news cycle.
No, there wasn't. And now it's, you know, and these guys are being pushed too by their employers to get stories to, you know, it's a vicious cycle. And, you know, situations like this, you don't have time to ring everybody you need to because by the time you've done that, somebody else potentially got the story and they're happy to run with it. Will go with any publicity is good publicity.
Yep.
The only thing I just shake my head at is this whole AFL footy has to be a safe workplace. It's never going to be ever a safe workplace unless we bring in non-contact football.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's just a reality. I find it staggering that people keep saying it. Of course, do we treat injuries like concussion? Do we know more about those? Yes. Are we, you know, the medicos more across certain things that perhaps they weren't 25, 30 years ago? Of course.
Yeah, we evolved.
Do we treat cancer differently than we do 30 years ago? Of course we do. So every possible duty of care is given to assist players, to ensure their welfare, all those things, but it is not a safe workplace. It would be like my workplace saying, okay, it's a safe workplace. No, it's not. Because there's a 513-kilo thing with four legs that if it kicked you in the head and you get too close to it inadvertently,
you're
will in kill
trouble.
You.
Yep.
You just won't back, get injured, it will kill you.
Just back on cosmic energy.
Is he back again?
No. You just posed his question that you answered.
I did, yeah. I don't know if it riles him or he just has picked up on it and he's using it himself, old cosmic. So just for, the safe workplace thing is to me, I just smirk and think you've lost your mind if you think that it's ever going to be a safe workplace.
So you can take steps to mitigate risk, but you can't eliminate risk.
No, you can't. I mean, we can't in my industry as well, horse racing.
Even here.
You're dealing with animals.
I can put in a power plug into a PowerPoint and it might have been miswired and it fries me. That can't be foreseen.
You could get killed by a bus walking across the street. You could spill coffee on your plums and not be able to bear children. There's things that can happen, Kingy, in life. And footy is a 360-degree game with athletes weighing anywhere from 85 to 105 kilos who can all move, who can all hit. It's just a reality. But this safe, with this woke safe workplace thing, for God's sake, my business would be safe, my industry would be safe if there was no horses. There'd be no industry. So would there be a football? If we made football non-contact, would that make it safe? Do you think people would go?
Oh, hell no. You're changing. You might as well create a new sport.
No. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So just, if you ever say to me that this is a, we need a safe workplace, you'll just cop one right in the gonads.
Enough.
Have you ever cop one in the gonads, King?
Enough from Tom Stewart style.
Yeah. Have you ever had one of those?
No, I haven't. Enough from Cryo. Yeah. Geelong more shady than Wild Racing.
Oh, we got done recently for
he's joking
former stage.
No, he's written at the bottom. Enough, only joking. Yeah. Our favourite Jake Kouliotis being forced to sign a waiver, as Benny put it, diabolical. Yes. Kingy, have you ever had to sign a waiver to exert physical activity? Enough, only joking. This is a storm in a teacup type arrangement. Go waivers.
You could. I mean, you could if you were sort of around, you could go out on top, couldn't you? There's risking in everything you do. Like, that'd be a nice way to go out, but there's a risk, isn't there? Because when you get a bit older, the ticker valve's not working as it used to be. Why are you laughing? This could happen. There's risk in everything you do.
There is.
Absolutely. Have you ever been asked to sign the waiver at home?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Jake Collins.
What about a form?
Can we talk about Jake Collins?
Did you do your census?
Yeah, I did do my census.
Yeah.
And the good thing is half my family's overseas at the moment.
Yep.
So you don't have to fill out details for them other than just who they are and
right
that they're away.
Because I want more buses around our area. So I said there's 70,000 people living at my house.
You're an idiot.
So I did. I just wanted to see what would happen. Anyway, I reckon I'll get on the news. Geelong West resident has 70,000.
Angry from Geelong West.
Yes.
Old man.
I did the trick today to you, Kingy.
What did you do?
I did the bin trick. So I'm just interested to see when I go home.
Oh, no. So what colour bin is it this week in your street?
It's supposed to be yellow, and I I went out in the street, and there was no other bin out. And so I thought, I know it's yellow, but I'm going to see what happens when I get
you're
home.
You're childish.
I'm going out tonight about 11 o'clock. And
take a photo.
And if someone,
you do a video, actually? Can you do a video up and down your street?
No, because if it ends up, someone sees it and realises where it is. So surely people won't do it, but I'm looking forward to seeing the results of my work.
You are a child. So we'll wait and see what's delivered. Can we talk about footy now?
Yes.
Right, because we've gone half an hour talking about this.
People are probably sick of it too. In fairness.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though we've gone half an hour.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah. We've done half an hour.
Chris Scott did a 20
minute. How was his salad today? His word salad.
Yeah, good. Will compartmentalise.
I'll have to watch. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Folly didn't get a run today.
All right. What about, I don't really like talking about this, but this is what I'm prepared to say. And then 8 minutes later, he's still going.
Yeah, something along those lines got said. Yeah.
That's without fail, that one.
Yeah.
Cosmic
energy would like that. Yeah. Can we talk about the Cats and the Kangaroos?
Yes. This is Danger Will Robinson.
So Edwards will be back. Myers is right.
He's okay, is he? Oh, that's good.
So,
he came back on and it seemed in no discomfort.
And they all weigh up whether Patrick Dangerfield plays or not.
I think they need Patrick Dangerfield to play because you'd rest him the following week.
So you're bringing two back. You're letting Polkinghorne go?
Probably. And he's done well, though, but he's probably.
And who's the other one there? Well, they'll potentially manage somebody this week.
Well, you wouldn't want to manage somebody who's absolutely pivotal to your team because
this is
a massive danger game for the Cats.
You don't want to manage somebody next week if you're potentially having the week off
But I think if you're resting a really senior player, I don't think 2 weeks would matter. I mean, I don't know if I'd want a mid-tier type player resting and then having 2 weeks off. But I think if you're resting one of those very experienced players, like, you know, you'd nearly be dropping out. You know, if you wanted to rest a Tom Stewart or not Blitzarves, he probably just needs to keep playing. But Cameron probably comes back against the Tigers, does he?
He does, yep.
Yeah. So this is I watched North Melbourne on last week, and they play the sort of game that Geelong will get beaten at Marvel.
Yep.
North Melbourne are way closer to a premiership than St Kilda.
Yes.
Miles closer.
Yep.
They have got six absolute guns in that side. And they've got other good players.
I tell you who was very good last Friday night. Was LDU.
Yeah, well, he's a gun.
Yeah.
And anyone who liked to nibble, they were offering a nice little over 25 disposal. And I thought, Is that a misprint?
Pro LDU?
Yeah.
For this week?
No, for last week. So I nibbled, Kingy, and I nibbled.
Nibbled responsibly?
I nibbled hard, yeah.
Did you nibble responsibly?
I did a big nibble. Right. And I also took North Melbourne to win.
Right.
So Geelong traditionally, when they've struggled against lower sides, their defensive pressure seems to go out the window and they just get involved in a bit of a circle work game.
Yep.
That is North Melbourne's game.
Yeah, don't want to get involved
right
in that.
Now. Yep. They're young enough that they don't have the experience. If you put pressure on them, they probably struggle a little bit because they're still young, B, they're still working out their systems. They don't have enough key defenders.
Yep.
They're one short there. They've got Trenbarth and Larkey up forward. And Larkey played a stinker last week, yeah, and they still won. But their ability through McKercher, through Wardlaw, through Sheezel, through O'Sullivan.
LDU.
Yeah.
Dylan Stevens has been good.
He's been playing really well.
Yep.
Former pick three of Sydney.
Yep.
So there's six blokes who will pick top five picks.
Yep.
If you allow them to run around, do whatever they like, and that's what Geelong have struggled with when they've played St Kilda at Marvel. There's a couple other games
Bulldogs at Marvel.
Geelong's pressure is on them. They play well, they'll win because they've got a better system. They've got they're more experienced. But if they're off and it becomes just a around the ground circle work type game, they will find it very difficult against North Melbourne.
If they just ping up and back, they'll be no good.
You'd hope, and we don't always see this because, you know, your position on the ladder. Traditionally, when Geelong have gone Scheisenhausen against Scheisenhausen teams, it's round 7 or round 8, and, you know, there's a million rounds to go.
It was St Kilda start of last year.
Yeah. Carlton this year.
Yeah.
They go in off the back 12. Of some good form. Yep. Suddenly they lay an absolute egg, and then they have 5 weeks where they'll continue to lay eggs. So I'm just hopeful that the Cats are switched on.
Yep.
You know, they're, as I said, they're a little bit thin in defence North. Like, Aiden Corr got injured last week. Now, he is no superstar, but they're relying on him being a second tall defender.
So
Combin's a very good player.
He'll go to Neil.
Yep. And that'll be a good matchup. Combin's he is their equivalent of Neil in defence.
Yeah, a Logue would go to an Ollie.
Well,
Henry.
A Logue will have to go to somebody. Can be a bit hit and miss Logue, but he's a former pick of Fremantle.
Yep.
First round pick, I think, of Freo. He'll be the second. They drop right off after that. Corr was the third. Logan Corr were the sort of equal second. There's nothing out
of
that.
Luke McDonald back there at the moment.
No, so. and talking to North Melbourne fans, they're happy about that.
Yeah, he signed for another year.
I know.
He's back. Yeah, he's probably going to be breaking case of emergency next year.
So they're very thin in defence.
But the thing is, though, he is experienced. He brings 200-odd games.
Yeah.
Calm head.
Yep. Parker's good.
Yep.
Parker's been good for them. But they are a little bit thin on paper in defence. If Geelong can get enough inside 50s, which has never been a problem for the Cats, even when they were losing, they should be able to put enough pressure on North Melbourne to win the game. What will be critical, too, is the start.
Yep.
When Geelong have struggled, what usually happens? Well, mind you, Carlton was 4-1.
Yes.
We're in front.
Started well.
Yeah, and that was
started
it.
Against,
it.
Started well against...
He kicked the first 3 goals against Port.
Port, yep.
GWS. GWS were in front.
Yep.
So it actually hasn't been the trend, but in previous years, the trend has been that it's 5-1 at quarter time.
Yep.
And Geelong leave it. They're still 6 goals down 2 minutes into the last quarter and lose by 6 points.
Yep.
So they've got to, if they start well, put some doubt in North Melbourne's mind, and hopefully that's enough because it's a really big game. We'll know the fate if Fremantle can beat Adelaide tomorrow night. Geelong are barracking for Freo.
Yes. And if they win that, they should finish top six.
If Adelaide cause an upset, Geelong will probably be the wild card.
Then they'll be looking for other results.
Well, they need Bulldogs to beat Melbourne in the last round, and the Bulldogs potentially won't be going anywhere, so they'll be resting players.
Yeah, they'll be.
I think Luke Beveridge has already half forecast that a week or two ago on one of those footy shows when he said, we'll do what's best for our team.
We're not going to worry about
what the team is. After losing last week, Bulldogs, I think, are going to stuck in 7th to 10th.
Yes, and not leave Victoria. Because that bottom four. Potentially though, if you fall in the wrong spot, you might have to go to Adelaide.
Right.
So
that would be dependent on if Adelaide
lost to the Dockers.
Yeah.
Adelaide falling.
If Adelaide somehow beat who have the Bulldogs got this week?
Bulldogs have got. Please hold caller.
I think it's someone Scheisen, isn't it?
Just checking the fixture.
I know Hawthorn play Collingwood. Freo play Adelaide.
Dogs have got Carlton.
Yeah, well, that's a big game.
Yeah, so that would actually be potentially, if Carlton could win that and go, can I go above the Dogs? Let me just have a quick look at the ladder. Yeah, they would. If Carlton beat the Dogs, they'd go to ninth. And if Adelaide were to fall back into seventh, the Dogs could find themselves going to Adelaide first week of the final.
And the Dogs, you're in a position now where the Dogs can't, you know, they need to be finding ways to win after losing last week. So, that's a big game, but you just hope the Cats can win out. I mean, they'll beat Richmond.
Yep.
Hopefully beat North. We just need Fremantle to beat Adelaide to get up. Otherwise, we're going to be perhaps wildcarding.
Yeah, and that's going to be really tough to win a flag from.
Well, Geelong win the flag.
No, I know, but it makes it, the degree of difficulty.
The degree of difficulty is what Nadia Comaneci sort of areas.
Yeah, the Russian judge. If you would,
that was like the bloke that went to the yoga. He went to the yoga studio.
Yeah.
And he said to the yoga teacher, why are you writing?
The yogi.
Is that what they're called?
Oh, I think so.
The yogi.
Yeah.
It's your hair, isn't it? Yogi Bear.
I haven't got any Bear.
No, he went to the yoga studio and he said to the lady, he said, can you teach me to do the splits? And she said, are you flexible? And he said, I can't do Tuesdays.
But
nice one, Moz. Boom, boom. Yes. There was this guy.
Oldie, but a goodie.
Yeah, that's a beauty, isn't it?
So 1 o'clock Saturday we go to air because we're actually
doing AFLW.
We're doing a W double header with the men. So looking forward to that, Ben. Should be good.
Absolutely, King. You'd be fantastic. I'll be there. No, actually, won't. Probably not. Not for that. Right. I will be there, though.
Well, yes, you will be there.
I'll be there eventually for
James
the Pussycats.
James Pops Kelly. He's joining us.
What do you think he'll have to say about the... I did hear a snippet of the coach and his salad, and it was a real sort of thick salad today, wasn't it? It was one of those salads that's just got everything in it, and it's got no sort of lettuce, but just heavy sort of salad, beans, like thick beans. And he was saying that... What?
You don't have beans in a salad.
You have a bean salad?
Oh, no.
Of course you can.
No good.
Bean salad? No, it can cause a bit of mischief, late night mischief too, the old bean salad.
Yes, it can.
Especially when old mate hasn't cleaned his barbecue properly and he feeds you those snags that have got a bit of residue on them for the previous 8 months.
You're right.
And I was cooking on my barbecue last night and I ran out of gas. It was a disaster, Kingy. A disaster.
How did you? Yeah, right.
Well, I didn't, you know, you don't check it. Sounded like a little Mark Webber.
Yeah.
And it just... and it went off. It went off. It just... I was just cleaning it and it went off. And it just went off mid-sizzle.
Sizzle. Yeah. Nothing.
It was a disaster.
Do you know what happened?
Have you ever gone off mid-sizzle?
Christmas Day.
You went off mid-sizzle?
Had the salmon on the barbie on Christmas Day. And the gas bottle...
Gonski. Oh, wow.
The rookie mistake.
That is a rookie mistake.
It is. So looking forward to Saturday.
So what are we thinking with the team then? So I'm for Dangerfield coming back for this game.
Yeah.
If he can provide a... And there's probably no real matchup for Dangerfield at North.
Dangerfield and Edwards. No, Dangerfield and Edwards coming in.
Yeah.
Well, Polkinghorne, I think.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. That's fair enough.
And then...
Who's the other one?
Take your pick.
Jack Martin,
Brad Close.
I'd leave Close in. Before Martin, but who else would be in line to maybe come out?
Wow.
Have a look at the team, Kim.
People were
talking about Sam De Koning needs to be traded.
You're not falling for that.
Is something gone wrong? Are there wires being crossed?
150 games for Zach Guthrie, by the way, on.
Yeah, I did see that.
Which is about 100, and there's about 113 of those in a row.
It's a good effort.
He's a fair. Who's coming
Isn't
out?
Isn't that his greatest year?
James Warple?
Well, I wouldn't, but I think he's been a real what we've described across the KSI can attack, real meat and potatoes across the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Polkinghorne's probably the only one that you go.
Polkinghorne comes in, Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Out, sorry.
Yeah.
Dangerfield in.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Polkinghorne's had a taste.
Yep.
4 games. He's kicked what?
8 goals.
8 goals.
Yep.
Good effort, showed a bit. Plenty to work on, lot to like. So he's been good. And Geelong have had a history of doing that. I mean, previous couple of years ago, Connor O'Sullivan played 1 game, didn't he?
Yes.
And then came in the next year.
I think Ollie Dempsey in his first year only played the one game.
So for Polkinghorne to get 4 games, if somebody had said to Polkinghorne, to Jay Polkinghorne, the dragon on the ground. Have you ever had that problem, Tom?
No. Go on.
If somebody had said to Jay Dragon Polkinghorne.
Yep.
That's I-N, not O-N.
Yeah.
That you were going to start the year in the, you'd get a couple of games in the preseason in the ones.
Yep.
You would then start in the twos and you'd get a little bit of an injury, so you're going to miss 6 weeks, five or six weeks.
I might miss 7 or 8, Ben.
Yeah, and then you would come back late in the year and play 4 senior games.
Yep.
He would have grabbed it.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're a second-year player and you're missing a significant chunk of VFL footy and you're going well enough to get back into the seniors, there's a fair bit to like. Would Lenny Hoffman get a game against Richmond?
Potentially.
I'd like to see Lenny.
Yep. Yep. So VFL play, had the week off. They play this week. And
who do they play?
They've got North Melbourne on Sunday at Arden Street.
Right. We're north on the VFL level.
No, I think they're no good. I think they're, well, I don't think it really matters. It's like Geelong are playing for 3/5 of stuff all in the VFL because they're on top.
Right. Well, it's a big one, this one, Kingy. I know it's only North Melbourne and there won't be a massive crowd there, but I just have this sort of heart in your mouth. And often, hopefully that's not the case. Geelong's best can win. It's just the right mindset will be the absolute pivotal part of it. And, you know, Geelong can't afford a lapse now, particularly if Fremantle can get over the top of the Crows.
North Melbourne, 17th on the VFL.
Oh, so they'll absolutely poop on there.
Potentially. Just a few more off our social media.
Ooh.
Big footy gents returning to the podcast after a big footy hiatus. Loving the future that we have seen over the past month of a spine of Jack Henry, Connor O'Sullivan, Smith, Neil Polkinghorne for the next 8 to 10 years. Looks like the Clif the media is speaking about might be a while off yet. Speaking of the media in this Collar story, in my opinion, the club has taken an unnecessary risk with this waiver. If it did come from Jake and his representatives, should the waiver not have been presented to the PA and the AFL by the player rather than the club?
Yes.
Not excusing what has happened, the club will cop their right whack from the AFL, but some of the reporting on this has been ludicrous. Certain reporters have even put this in the Essendon scandal basket. Anyway, onto the Kangas in a very tricky game under the lid. We have spoken about potential changes. Jeremy Cameron.
Who wrote all this?
This is Son of God 29.
Yeah, that's all making very, very clear sense to me, King. All that.
Lord of Sleepy Hollow.
The Son of God.
Is it too early
to... What about the Lamb of God? You take away the sins of the world.
Is it too early to
rest in peace.
Is it too early to call, or are we witnessing a proper superstar revolution with Ollie Dempsey after Saturday's game, perhaps albeit tiny? Flashes of Ablett Sr. in the way he leaps and attacks the contest. Even flashes of Junior in his lateral movement and footy IQ, the Lord of Sleepy Hollow. He's had his patchy moments early on, but his recent form on the wing and pushing forward has been so elite that All-Australian squad whispers are getting louder. Is this guy All-Australian calibre now? How much further can he go? If they are picking a legitimate wingman, he is on one wing. Ed Langdon's probably on the... Ed Langdon's possibly on the
I'm still reeling from Ollie Dempsey being used in the same sentence as Gary Ablett Sr.
And Junior.
That's extraordinary.
On the trade front, this supposed...
But I do agree he's in the Australian team, but I'd check the Gary Ablett Sr. comparison. Gary, there's nobody being compared to Gary.
On the trade front, if this supposed meeting between Zach Butters and the Cats actually eventuates and hypothetically he chooses a Cattery, who are you comfortable putting on the table on the table in the trade scenario? Is it going to cost us a quality best 22 player? Who would you be willing to sacrifice or even package up, thinking if it lands us Zach Butters, so be it?
Given the Cats don't have access to high-end picks, they're going to have to, if they were to do some sort of deal to get Butters...
Would be their first-round pick.
Yeah, and they would have to put some players in there.
Yeah.
I mean, close would be one. Now, whether or not Port Adelaide have any interest, that potentially they do. He's a premiership player. Close would be one. You've got to think of players, Kingy, who you think you can cover. There's no point in moving. Now,
would you move Jai Clark on? Yeah, I know he's re-signed, or was going to re-sign.
Yeah, I would consider that. I would consider that. I think he's a, you know, he's playing. Is he playing well at the moment? Yes.
There you go again.
Cosmic energy. Sorry, Cosmic. I'll have to consider our sort of banter in the future.
You need some cosmic energy.
I love a bit of cosmic energy. The cosmic psychos, Kingy. I've seen them a few times. I've lost my train. What were we just talking about?
Jai Clark.
Yeah, I think he's one that you would maybe look at because at 182, he's not super quick. They're trying to fashion him clearly. Unless their plan is to move him back into the midfield at some point, and I think the making of him will be playing in defence, I could target that. If they think he's going to be a permanent fixture in defence, I don't sort of, I'd question that. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'd question that long term. So yes, he would be one that I would consider. Who else have we got? I'm trying to just think off the top of my head in terms of a play. I mean, there's no point in saying we'd give them
Mitch Neville,
Jack Martin or someone. Yeah, they're not going to take that. It has to be someone with some currency. Now, Close has some currency. Jai Clark certainly has some currency. He's a first-round pick. Okay, here's one for you.
Go on.
You're not going to like Polkinghorne. We have a plenty of mid-sized players.
Yep.
We've got Henry. We've got Mallor coming through as a young player. We've got Neil as a young player. Cameron's still there for a few years. You know, I mean, Dangerfield's going around again next year. I know that's short term. Let's talk about getting Toby Green. Jack Martin's playing again. Polkinghorne has currency. Now, are you letting go a good player? Possibly, yes. But do you need to do that to get somebody like Butters in? Yes. So, you know, I'm not saying move Polkinghorne on or anything. I'd love him to say the case. But they're the sort of players who maybe spark the interest of another club to get them.
Finally, Kingy, checking in on your welfare, mate. You're out there on the front line blocking every single listener request demanding this Bluetooth story be told. How are you holding up running interference? Is the damn wall starting to wear thin, or are you quietly enjoying playing the bouncer, keeping that story under lock and key? I'm thoroughly enjoying being
the
bouncer.
Can I tell you a little bit of it?
No.
Can I tell you how it starts?
No.
No, can I set the scene?
No,
nobody can't. Is going to get hurt if I set the scene.
No, because this is the fun part, Ben.
Right.
Howler 41. Workmanlike win.
Well, Howler makes sense.
Appears no injuries and plenty
in the last
found touch.
Minutes.
Ballroom blitz, 20 touches was improved. And I'd say Jai Clark, best game for the club. Smart business making sure Big Junkie's cherry right for his clash with Cherry Pie. With
he's a gun cherry.
Danger and Cameron in the next couple of weeks. I hope Wiltshire and Close stay on the side. Both offer something different. Close, in particular, is key to locking the ball inside 50. Taking my nearly six-year-old son to his first game this week and my first game since Eagles at home 2024. Favourite player is Stuart. Mine is Shannon Neal. Finally, I've checked the Mitch Edwards first goal clock, and it's moving backwards. Mr. Cat 10, gents, love your work. The new Cat Attack podcast notification that pops up onto my phone gives a genuine twinge in the engine room.
Oh, really? We love those twinges in the engine room. Have you ever twinged in the engine room?
Mr. Cat 10, this is, by the way. Anyway, I digress. I've noticed throughout all the media around this week, there seems to be a bit of a theme that I've picked up that many of the media despise dealing with the Cats. Our coach seems to have toned down his mannerisms and arrogance from 8 to 10 years ago, so I'm just wondering why this may be. It's a shame to hear our club spoken about this in this way when it seemingly wouldn't need to be like this.
You're on the front line.
I'm on the front line.
And you can speak to this with first-hand experience.
I can. Not every relationship is perfect. You will have your ups and downs, and I'll be the first to say, and at both ends, the Cats will say about their relationship with me that it's not always smooth sailing.
No.
But for the most part, it's respectful. Sometimes I will pick up the phone and say, yeah, I'm not happy with that. There's two sayings, Ben. The squeaky wheel gets the most grease. Empty vessels make the most noise. And and you've got to straddle that line. I try to stay on the squeaky wheel gets the most grease, but sometimes I can be the empty vessel making the most noise. Gail the Snail, do we have the best Ollies there's ever been and will ever be? If OD doesn't get a wing spot in the AA team, it would be a level of farciality not seen. That's the first time I've used the word farciality on the podcast since starting Lockie Henderson at full forward in the 2016 prelim.
Oh, my God, don't get me started on that. Is that Gail?
Yep. Ollie Henry's in career best. Benny's always been a big supporter of Ollie, so I want to give him flowers for sticking with him. Everyone's quick to jump on Ben when Mullen has a good game or three, but won't do the opposite when Ollie proves him right.
Yes.
When did your mum start
is
jumping
this
on
Gail?
When did your mum start getting on Bigfooty?
Well, mum can't operate the heater in her room, so I don't think she'd be on social media.
What does Geelong's forward line look like when Danger and Jez come back? Surely the days of Jez contesting ground balls in the back 50 and Jack Henry being a key forward are over, right? Love your work.
Is that all Gail the Snail?
It's Gail the Snail. Written and spoken
Gail, we need to chat off air. Look, I agree. And look, I don't know. I reckon I'm pretty good at sort of sniffing out, like, talent in terms of seeing. You only need to see little bits and pieces, particularly early in their career. You know, we've seen that with Polkinghorne. Now, he outmarked Wilkie. Okay, it was one mark. But he's one-on-one against a very, very experienced and well-credentialed defender against the Saints, and he outmarked him. Now, he did the same against Jeremy Howe. he rolled the ball down his arm and took the mark right on the stroke of halftime against Collingwood. Now, they're just two marks. So two marks isn't going to make a career. But you get a little snapshot of what he can do as a 20-year-old. Is he 20 or 21?
21.
I mean. Yeah, so he's young. Anyway, you get a little snapshot of what he can do. You just need to see the little snapshots. Now, the difference there with somebody like a Jai Clark is you never really saw the snapshots. You saw a pick seven who didn't have any talent that you could obviously see was pick seven. Now, is he come back in and playing good footy in a different role? Yes. Do we hope, I'm going cosmic energy again, we hope that continues.
Yep.
Because we're all cheering for Jai Clark. He's a Geelong kid. His dad coached here locally, and did he play here locally?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we're all cheering for him. I'm never cheering, but I reckon, and look, someone like Jack Martin, he's been around the block. I just don't know what he offers you. And, you know, Geelong have keep going with some of these players, and you think, well, I don't know. Junk Edwards is another one. Do you see snapshots of what he can do?
Oh, yeah.
And you see more and more each game. You know, he's getting involved a little bit more in the game. Is he athletic? Yes. Has his athleticism grown on you as the season? I mean, you look at him to start first game, you think, well, he's just a big 206-centimetre lumbering sort of. But he's actually not. He's actually quite athletic.
Mm.
And we're seeing a little bit more of that. Are we going to see it all the time? Is he going to have games where he stinks it up? 100% he's going to, because he's young. But and Ollie Henry was one that he's different to a lot of players. He's got an unbelievable leap. He's a very good shot at goal. He can kick goals in different ways. He can mark it. He can make you nervous because he can jump on your head. He's good. He's actually very proficient around the goals in terms of, you know, chaos balls. He'll kick in. I'd love to break down of what he's kicked this year. His kicking, set shot kicking for goal has been spot on, but he has an ability to get balls in different, get goals, I should say. You don't want to get the balls to them. Get goals in different ways as a forward. That's where I think Polkinghorne is going to need to develop, because he's not going to be able to just be a marking player.
Yep.
He's not quick enough at the moment. He doesn't look like he's super quick. Ollie Henry has a bit of speed to him. Now, can he prove he's defensively? Yes, but Polkinghorne is more of a, he's going to have to develop his game, and that will happen. He can't just be a marking option, that's it, because he's only 190. He's not a key position size. So, but I've always liked Ollie Henry because of his ability to do different things within the forward line, and that is you know, crucial to a player when you're a mid-size forward. You have to be able to be involved in different ways, and that's where, that's my only reservation on Polkinghorne.
Andrew Daly, good to see your bright and shining faces on the big screen on Saturday. Even though it was wet, it was a great day. Mum got to see the Ollies in full force, but let's focus on footy. The club will take care of the waiver issue. Good, bad, indifferent. We can't change it. The Rendered Cats, hello, gents. The banana peel game is upon us. Nothing flashy, just win. Still doing my best voodoo rituals for Brisbane, Melbourne and Adelaide. Hasn't worked so far. My boy Jai Clark continuing to impress.
Yep.
Go Pussycats. The forward line functioning well without Jezza, Ollie Henry in particular. What would you do when Jezza comes back? He comes into the team for the Dragon, but will normal service resume with him in attack? I assume Danger comes in for Martin too.
Mm. Well, that's where I have a little bit of a fear that, you know, it becomes a crowded forward line. And, you know, the work of Neil and Ollie Henry without Cameron there. And I'm not suggesting, I've said this before, I'm not suggesting Cameron goes out of the team, but it does become crowded. That's why the logic of getting Toby Green or attempting to get Toby Green escapes me, because that will just make it even more crowded. Neil and Ollie Henry are... What, Ollie Henry's played over 100 games.
Yep.
Shannon Neal's played, what, 60?
About 65.
65. These aren't inexperienced players now. You know, you're not expecting somebody to fill in for Jeremy Cameron that's played six games.
No.
So, and suddenly they've got more responsibility. What's happened?
They've grown with it.
Yeah. So, that's why somebody like a, you know, trading, you know, Geelong could afford to maybe trade a forward. Because I think they have enough up forward. So, you'd be interested to see what happens when Cameron comes back in and when Dangerfield comes back in. Because if Dangerfield, Cameron, and they leave Jack Martin in that team, that will be an absolute disaster.
Damien Tedesco, great.
Mr. Tedesco.
call on Saturday. King, in regards to this waiver issue, is it up to Collar's call if he goes on next year with all that's been said? Carrow on Monday night has the missile set on Geelong ever since Stewart took out Prestia in the Tigers game in 2022. I'd be shocked if Jake Collar Jasny plays for Geelong again.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, King. He's going to be the collateral damage in all this in terms of his career, yep, which is sad for Jake because he's been a pretty good servant for the Cats, a very good servant, and I just... Yeah, you can't see him, given everything's been made public, you just can't see him playing on. That's why I was... Was he the one that came forward and said, it's me?
Yes, he came out and said it was...
Yeah, I'm sure hindsight, that was the smartest move of all time because...
Well, maybe he just didn't want the speculation to continue because people had pinpointed it to him anyway.
Yeah, of course they had, but they never knew. They could pinpoint it to him, but they never knew 100%. There was another big issue with the Cats where everybody seemed to know who it was, but nobody ever actually said who it was.
Mm.
I just wonder.
But this is different. That was the subject of a suppression order.
Oh, I just
this one was easy to work out when they said it was a player re-signing in 2020. You only with a history of concussion. You only had to. You didn't have to.
No, be... I know you didn't have to be. You didn't have to be a rocket scientist, but him coming out now, I think, has probably been the death knell for his footy career. Unfortunately,
the token opener, Mick Howley. What will happen first? Big Junk gets his first goal, or Ben gets to tell the Bluetooth story? I'm happy to sign a waiver. Hear the yeah. Bluetooth story.
Well, it's hilarity. It's on all levels. The Bluetooth story.
Anyway,
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, and it did happen, and it happened. Just outside Geelong.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.